Okay, we're up to Perek Dalet.
What's on? Yep.
So just to remind ourselves of what we're holding here, we saw in the first two prakim the terrible things that befell Iyov. And we saw in Perek Gimel, Iyov curses the day he was born, right? Which we saw was just a cover for expressing his frustration with God who's put him in this situation. And instead of just complaining about his own reality, he broadens it out into questions about the reality of existence. We saw in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Tet, he said, Lama yitain le'amel or v'chaim le'mori nafesh. Why does God give life to those whose lives are full of suffering? And of course, the only answer to that question, as formulated that way, it's a leading question. Why does God give life to people whose lives are full of suffering, assuming that evaluation is true? The only answer one can give to that is that God wants people to suffer, which runs exactly contrary to the assumption we may generally make about God. We generally assume, as religious people, that God wants people to benefit, God wants good for people, God is the ultimate good, creates the world to benefit others, right? That's all religion's assumption about God. But a person whose life is miserable, as Eov's was, and looks around and sees that there are many other people whose lives are miserable, can come out in another direction. We read last week in the Ramon Avuchim, in the piece that we read together, that there were philosophers, especially in the Middle Ages, who developed this theory of God's goals not being to benefit man, but God wanting man to suffer. What was the Eov's proof that this is God's purpose? Because there are people who wait for death and it avoids them. They're happy to get old because they know that their lives are coming to an end. And particularly, we saw Pasuk Chofet, there are people whose way is blocked. Legever asher darko nistara. A man whose way is blocked. He doesn't know how to proceed, how to make his life better. Why? Pasuk Chofet. Because vayosach Eloa ba'ado. Because God has blocked him in. There can be people who are in situations where they feel that God wants them to suffer, and no matter what they do, they're going to continue suffering. You have definitely felt that way. One fine day, all this happens. Everything's coming out of control. And it seems like God wants this to happen, and he prays, and nothing gets better. So Eo develops a very clear philosophy of how to understand suffering in this world. If you assume that there are people whose lives are suffering and there's no way for them to get out of it, for them to avoid it, that's a very strong statement that implies things about who God is. We're going to see now today, Perek Dalet, Eliphaz is the first speaker of Eov's friends. As we saw, each of the friends are going to speak and present an alternative possibility. Let's begin, before we read Eliphaz's actual words, let's begin just by getting a general understanding of how this problem has been dealt with by different peoples in the past. How does Christianity deal with this problem?
Satan,
right? Meaning, Christianity says, you're right, there is suffering in the world, but that's not God. It's convenient when you can divorce these things from God. Well, who is it? Satan. Right? Who we saw here, and you can see where they're getting it from Christianity, from the first few prakim, the discussion going on between God and Satan, and there's this tension and this struggle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. What does Judaism think about that approach? What did Chazal call that approach? They were referring primarily to Zoroastrianism that had a similar approach, but the same could be said for Christianity.
What is that?
They formulated it as Shtei Rishuyos, the belief in there being more than one power. Right? We believe Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We believe there is only one power. And that ultimately, if there is suffering in the world, it must be from God. It must be something that ultimately has to be explained in your understanding of God's nature. So let's see Eliphaz. Eliphaz being the first speech will be a pattern, a model for the other ones, and so I want to show you how the speeches are going to work as a whole, and then we'll get to his particular thing. Vayan Eliphaz atemani vayomar. Hanisa davar elecha til eva atzor b'milein miyuchal. Can I get a word in edgewise? Be the way we would translate Pasuk Bet. Hine yisarta rabim v'yadayim rafot tichazek. Koshel yikimun milecha uvirkayim korot te'ametz. ki ata tavo elecha v'tele tiga adecha v'tibale v'tibahel. What is he saying to him in the first three psukim of Yekibal Dalam Hei? Reminder, I suggested that it would help us learn Eov better if people went through the Prakim on their own beforehand. Maybe he'll forget this time. Next time we won't forget, right? Okay? If you're not, at least bring in English Tanakh, so I don't have to translate for you. What's he saying? Hinei Yisarta Rabim. No, no, Yisarta means like Musar. You've taught many. V'yadayim Rafot Tichazek. And soft hands you've strengthened. Koshel, the one who fell. Yekimun Milecha, your words picked up. Uvirkayim Korot, and bending knees, Ta'ameitz, you strengthened. He describes Eov as having been a person in the past who?
Helped
others. Was always there to give chizuk. When someone was down, you came up. And how did you give chizuk? You have to have faith, and God will help you, and don't worry, and in the end things will be good. All the way we do it, right? All the ways we do it. Ki ata tavo elecha v'tele, tiga adecha v'tipahel. And now, when it comes to you, you give up. Why are we hypocritical? We're hypocritical because what you see from your position is always different than what you see from a different position. You're not intentionally hypocritical. It's that it seems right to you. When you're not suffering someone else's pain, it seems right to tell him that, you know, you can get through it, it's not the end of the world, all the stuff that, and we mean it. But then when you finally see it yourself, it's different. And Eliphaz is reminding Eov, he says, I have nothing new to tell you, just the stuff you told yourself. Was it all irrelevant? Halo yiratcha kislatecha. Your yiras Elokim is your hope. Tikvatcha v'tom drachecha. It's the way out of this mess. So he begins by appealing to Eov and telling him that he should have the same hope that he had always tried to instill within others. Now this speech, like many of the others in Eov and in Tanakh as a whole, is built in a very particular way where the ending comes back to the beginning. Like a lot of stories in Tanakh. And then the middle pieces are parallel, and then there's a middle piece, mamish. Let's see the conclusion where he comes back to the same encouragement. That would be particularly Perek. It's two prakim here. Eliphaz's speech, Perekay, Pasuk, Yudzayim. Hine Ashrei Anosh Yochichenu Eloha. Happy is the man who's been given direction by God. Umusar Shaddai Al Timas. And he doesn't show disgust in the teachings of God. Ki hu yachiv v'yachbash. He causes pain, but he heals. Yimchatz v'yadav tirpenu. He crushes, but his hands can heal. V'sheish tzarot yatzilecho v'sheva lo yigav v'chara. V'rav, Patchami, I've talked about how God will redeem you. And therefore, after all these descriptions of redemption, Patchav Chavdalit, v'yadata ki shalom o'alecha, u'fakadat inavcha v'lo techeta, v'yadata ki rav zarecha, you'll have many children again, v'tzat, v'achat ke'es of haret, tavo v'chelecha le'kaver, ka'alot kadish v'yito, hinezot chakarnuha kenhi. Search this out, and you'll see it to be true, shmanen v'yata adalach. Turn to God and everything will be good again. So again, the conclusion, like the beginning, is telling Eov there's hope and he should have hope. The middle of Eliphaz's speech is where he deals with the philosophical question. What was the philosophical question? How could there be suffering? What does this imply? So starting in Pasuk Zayin, Eliphaz responds, Zichorna, Perigdal Pasuk Zayin, Zichorna mihu naki avad. What question does he ask in Pasuk Zayin? Mihu Naki Avad. What does that mean?
Who's free of sin?
Who is the clean one? Naki. Avad, who's lost. Ve'efo yisharim nechichadu. And where are the straight ones who are cut off? Implication, those who are cut off, those who suffer are not
good.
Clean and straight. Kasher ra'iti chorshei oven v'zorei amal yiktzeruhu. How do we say this in English? Kasher ra'iti choreshei oven v'zorei amal yitzeruhu. God bless you. How do we say this in English? You reap what you sow. When I saw people choreshei oven sowing iniquity v'zorei amal yitzeruhu, they reap suffering. Minishmat Eloha yovedu meruach hapo yichlu. Shagat aryeh, there can be a lion that cries out, v'kol shachal, and the voice of the lioness. But the teeth of the lions are ripped out. without the teeth. The lion is lost without prey. Uvnei lavit baradu, and the children of the lion need to split up because their mother and father can't help them anymore. Why is he using the imagery of a mother, father, lion with children lions? If you lost your kids, Eov, it must be because you were loud without teeth. And he's saying it nicely, right? He's using a mashal. What's the philosophy of Kasheraiti Chorsheov and Vizori Amal Yiktivu? How is it an answer? How is it an answer? Yeah.
The only reason you suffer is because you did something wrong.
Not just you, in general, right? You're right. Suffering comes because of the things that man does. You know, it's famous that everyone believes in God to blame him for the Holocaust. And what I mean by that is that it's easy for us to point to God as the reason for our problems. Is it possible that we might have reaped what we sow? If a person smokes and dies of lung cancer, is that God's fault? If we create nuclear arms and bomb each other, is it God's fault for the suffering that comes out of that? Now again, those are clearer examples, but how much of our own suffering are things we've inflicted upon ourselves if we look at it honestly? With our friends, with our family, with our neighbors. It's God's fault. And it's very convenient to come to God and say, how could God be doing this? How could God be allowing me to suffer? How much of it is a direct result of what we plan? We're going to skip for a moment the next bunch of psukim. I'm going to get back to them, the core, the center of the speech. Let's pick up again in the beginning of Parakeh. We'll get back to these psukim in a minute. The beginning of Parakeh is parallel to these psukim we just read in Parak Dalet. Right, you have the opening of Parak Dalet with the conclusion of Parakeh. You have the next part of Parak Dalet and the part before it in Parakeh, which are parallel, and then the center. There are five parts. A, B, C, B, A. The last two parts are parallel to the first two parts. Beginning of Parakeh. Krana hayesh avunecha velmi mikdoshim tifne. Ki la'avil yaro gas ufote tamit kina. Ani ra'iti avil mashrish ve'akov navehu pit'om. Pasukim, very important to translate. I saw a fool uprooted and his calm home destroyed suddenly. Who's he referring to? Without saying you are bad, right? Because Yirchaku vanav miyesha, his children were distanced from salvation. Vidaku v'shar ve'ein matzil, and they're stuck at the fence without anyone to save them. Asher k'tziro reiv yochel v'el mitzinim yikachel v'shaf tzamim chelam. Pasuk vav, very important. Ki lo yetze me'afar aven. Iniquity doesn't grow naturally from the ground. U'me'adama lo yitzmach amal. And suffering doesn't grow from the ground. Ki adam le'amal yulad uvnei reshef yagbiu uf. Because man is the one who puts it in the ground. We talk about, you know, what we've done to our environment. If man decides to abuse the world he lives in, and all the different ways that we abuse it, and it leads to global warming, I'm not saying it does, but I'm saying if that's true. And if it leads to more earthquakes and more tsunamis and more tidal waves and more of these things, is it God's fault? How much of the result are ultimately the things that are the fruits of our own labor, so to speak? If you plant weeds, weeds are going to grow. And therefore his response in Pasuk Chet is, Ulam ani edrosh el el. I, Eov, would seek God. My words I would put towards God, who's Oseg Dolot Vein Cheker, Niflot Arin Mispar. And he starts describing God's actions. Pasuk Yud, Hanotein Matar Al Pnei Aretz Visholeach Mayim Al Pnei Chutzot, who makes it rain, Lasum Shvalim Lamarom, who can raise up those who've been lowered on high, Vikodrim Sagu Yasha, Mefrem Achshavot Arumim, who foils the plots of the devious, Velo Tatsani Yadayim Tushia, Lochei Chachamim Bormam, Vatsad Eftalim Nimra, Yomayim Yifkashu Choshev, Chalayim Ashuba Tzarayim. He starts describing how God is man's hope, how God redeems. God is good! Why is there suffering? Because man plants evil. And now that you're stuck with the results of what you planted, turn to God, and He's the one who can save you. This is a very understandable philosophy. It's a very understandable philosophy. I want to relate to what we skipped. What we skipped is right in the middle of the speech. It begins in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud-Bet. It's a prominent part. It's one quarter of the speech. And it's totally indecipherable. Right in the middle of his speech, in Pasuk Yud-Bet, he says, Ve'elai davar yigunav, something snuck into me. Ve'tikach ozni shemetz menhu, and it grabbed my ear. Ve'sifim mechezyonot laila, in my night dreams, bin full tardema al anashim, when slumber falls on man, pachad krani u'reada, fear called and grabbed me, verov atzmotai efchid, and terrified my limbs, veruach al panai yachalov, and a wind passed before my face, tisamer sarat besari, caused my hair to stand on edge, yamod velo akir mareu. It stood before me and I couldn't tell what I was seeing. Tmuna l'neged einai, dmama, silence, v'kol hashman. A voice came out and said, Pasuk Yud-Zayin, ha'enosh me'elohai yitzdak. Can man be more righteous than God? Im me'osehu yitar gover. Can man be more pure than his maker? Hein ba'avadav lo yaminu v'malachav yosim ta'ala. Af shochnei batei chomer asher ba'afar yisodai midakum lefnei ash. He starts describing the lowliest of man. This is his reaction to his vision. What was his vision? In these psukim, from Pasuk Yud-Bet through Pasuk Chaf Aleph, 10 psukim, Eliphaz describes having seen a hair-raising, bone-chilling vision, and his conclusions from that vision. What were his conclusions? Can man match God? Can man be more righteous than God? Man is so low, God is so great. What was the vision? And what's strange is not just that we don't know what the vision is, but that, why wasn't it told to us? He's describing what he felt about the vision and not the vision itself. The only way I can understand why doesn't tell us what the vision was is because he expects us to know what it was. What was it?
Death.
What?
Death.
It's a good guess. Mm-hmm. Fair guess. Yeah? Well, he saw himself. Could be. Could be. But, you know, the problem is it doesn't say anything. I'd expect him to say, I saw myself. I mean, these are excellent suggestions. I think there's something else in the book which we've already seen. Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
No, I'm still thinking.
Let's take a look at the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. The Rambam in Chelek Gimel, a few prakim after the piece that we saw last week, for those who thought they were getting away from Moreh Nevuchim by coming to this year, I apologize. Wherever you go. The Rambam has a number of prakim about Sefer Yov, one parak we looked at last week. And he points to something very interesting about Perek Aleph. Something very interesting about Perek Aleph. We'll take a look at the Rambam in a moment. Let's go back to Perek Aleph, which we already pointed out then, kind of undermines the whole book. Why does it undermine the whole book? Because Perek Aleph describes the Satan coming to Hashem and saying, if Hashem says to the Satan, hey, isn't Eov great? And the Satan says, oh, sure, he's great. Take away all his things, see what happens. And God says, okay. And lets the Satan go out and take away all his things. And then Hashem says to the Satan, hey, Satan, look how good Eov is. And Satan says, well, go hurt him and see what happens. And then Hashem says, okay, hurt him. And then he gets beaten up. It seems that Eov is some guinea pig in some terrible bet between God and Satan, which is where Christianity comes from. So how do we understand that? If you look back at Perek Aleph, and we mentioned this at the time, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Vav, you see something interesting about the way the Satan is presented. It says, Vayihi hayom vayavohu b'nei Elohim litzyatzev al Hashem, vayavohu gam ha-satan b'tocham. He's described independently. Look, for example, compared to Perek Bet, Pasuk Aleph, where it's even more highlighted. Vayihi hayom vayavo b'nei Elohim lityatzev al Hashem, vayavo gam ha-satan b'tocham lityatzev al Hashem. It's mentioned with his own lityatzev. And then we saw the strange give and take between Hashem and the Satan, where Hashem says to the Satan, Pasuk Perek Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis. Hashem says to the Satan, where have you been, Satan? And what does the Satan say? Oh, I've been flying around the earth, and I've come up from there. And the question is, like, what are we supposed to learn from that? So the Rambam, here in the paragraph on the right side, he says, Aval amro bivnei Elohim litzyatzev al Hashem, hu bepam harishona v'hashniya. Both times it says that the Bnei Elohim came to stand before God. Aval asatan, af al pishaba b'chlalam hu b'tocham, bepam harishona v'hashniya, even though he comes together with the rest of the angels in the first thing. Harei v'rishona lo amar bo litzyatzev, uv'hashniya amar v'yavo gam asatan b'tocham litzyatzev al Hashem. Says the Rambam, v'haveini nyanze, understand this thing, v'hidbonein kama muflahu, and think about how amazing it is. Ure'e, he'achu z'skuli inyanim elu ke'en chazon. And see how these things were understood to me like a vision. 23, downstairs, Kapach says, ein elu divrei hitbarut chalila. These are not the Rambam showing off chas v'shal, ki Rabbeinu rachok mikach, he was none of. And he wouldn't use big fancy words so that we'd accept what he'd say. And his goal with these words is only Hemshech Remez Labi or Mashakasavi, your first in the Rambam, who talks about how a Chacham can be like a Navi. I don't know. The Rambam said that he saw this in a vision. I don't think the Rambam was the only one who saw it in a vision. I think that it's quite possible that this whole give and take between God and Satan, which sounds very much like a mashal, right, like a dream, is something they all saw. Eov, throughout the Sefer, describes himself being tormented by these terrifying nightmares. We'll soon hear him talking about them. What do you think those nightmares were? I'll tell you what I think the nightmares were. At night, he goes to sleep, and he sees God talking about him with the Satan. And the next day, he wakes up, and his cattle is dead, and his oxen are dead, and his children are dead. And then that night he goes to sleep and there's another vision and the God is talking to Sutton again and the Sutton saying, well, let's hurt him. And you know what happens the next morning? He's full of boils. How did the friends know what had happened to Eov? I think they saw it too. They saw this vision of God and Satan. The question is how you interpret it. You know how Eov interpreted it? God is after me. What kind of insanity is this? How could he do this? You know how Eliphaz interpreted it? Where does the Satan come from? He comes from the ground. Who creates the Satan? Who? Who empowers the Satan? You ever hear this thing in Chazal, when you do an Avera, you create the negative angels, right? And then they testify against you in the end of days. There's a famous Gemara, Baba Basra Daf Tetzvav, which says, who Hayetzahara? Who Hasatan? Who Malach HaMavis? May you hear that Gemara? It's the same character. The question is, where does it begin? So, Eov can say, well, God has this thing in for man, creates the Malach HaMavis, who sneaks in the form of the Satan, and affects man as the Yetzahara. What would Eliphaz say? That ultimately it's what we do that empowers the Satan that makes it possible for a Malach HaMavis. The Satan does not come together with the other angels before God. And he's not from God's. He's not one of the B'nai Elohim. He's not one of God's natural messengers. He's the result of our deeds. This is a term to face your own demons. The Satan is our demon. The demon we fuel. The result of our actions. And if the Satan has a say with God, it's because Eov did something wrong. And if Eov wants things to be repaired, he should go to God and ask for repair. It's not Shtei Rishuyos. It's not God and some angelic world of Satan. It's God and man's right to live his life and ruin it if he wants to. Independently. Where do you come from, the Satan? I come from earth. I come from man's world. It's he who empowers me. Okay, questions, and then we'll continue in Perek, in Prakim Hei and Vav. Yeah?
So does that mean that a tsunami or an earthquake or a holocaust or any genocide that's caused by a man's doing?
According to Eliphaz.
So according to Eliphaz, the people that...
Ultimately, if you research it, you'll see how it begins with the things that man plants.
So man planted evil seeds to cause whatever...
Again, I don't mean literally. Meaning... Meaning the tsunami. One could say earthquakes are happening more often late because of the ways we've affected our environment, right? The fruits and vegetables and poisons and new viruses are because of the way we've intervened in the natural way that nature works, right? There are people who say these things, by the way, modern day, not just Eliphaz. Yeah?
Why does God need to show any of these visions?
It's a good question. Maybe this was a model question of man dealing with the realities that God wants man to deal with. The whole existence of this sefer caused you to wonder, like, did it just happen on its own, or was it meant to be a test case?
So what's the point of giving him that insight?
To see how he's going to process it and understand it. Maybe we'll talk about why all this happens at the end when we see how it ends, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So suffering in Olam HaZeh is a good gift so that you can reward Olam Haba. So suffering is not a bad thing.
Again, you're basing off certain assumptions we have as Jews, which we could leave aside. He's not getting into suffering as punishment. He's getting in suffering as a result of man's deeds. And that kind of suffering, I don't think, would be something you'd get schar for. You know, if you bang your head against the door, you get schar for that? And then, you know, in Olam Haba, Hashem, you know, you're an idiot. You're banging your head against the wall. It's going to hurt. Right? Scary, because we like to avoid the implications of what we do and why we may have to be the ones to bear the brunt for that. We don't want to bear responsibility. We just want to live happy-go-lucky and blame God when it doesn't work out.
Then you're saying the book is a global book, not a personal book.
What?
The book is about EO.
Oh, for sure. The reason it's in Tanakh is because we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. We talked about the opinion of Lo Hayah V'lo Nivra, that EO didn't exist. It's just a model for other peoples. But, you know, what's interesting is the same way, you know, there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah which says that on Rosh Hashanah it's decided how much money a person is going to make. You know when people quote that Gemara? When they lose a lot of money. They don't quote that Gemara when they're deciding whether they want to work 18 extra hours through the night as if God doesn't decide what we make. When things don't work out for us, we say, oh, you know, God decides that anyway, right? It's all His fault. I don't know why God does these strange things. Okay, Perek Vav. Eov's response. Vayan Eov v'yomar, Lu shakol yishakel ka'asi, v'havati b'moznaim yis'u yachad. If I could weigh my frustration on a scale, b'moznaim, it would be bearable. Ki ata mechol yamim yichbad. My suffering is heavier than the sand of the sea. How is it heavier than the sand of the sea? The sand of the sea is heavy, no? You ever pick up wet sand? Pretty heavy, surprisingly heavy. It's weighing me down. Al kein dvarai lo. That's why my words are so frustrated. Why is his suffering so bad? Yeah. Ki chitzei shaddai imadi. Because the arrows of God are with me. What an image. God is targeting me. Asher chamatam shotaruchi, their anger is engulfing my spirit. Biute eloa yarchuni. Let's translate these words. What are biute? The intimidations, the frightful things of God are weighed against me. What intimidating, frightful things is he referring to? What does he see as part of the arrows of God? I think he means the dreams. Biute, he refers to them openly in a few more psukim. Hayin hak pera le deshem yugesh shor al blilo hayachel tafel bli melachim yesh tam beruach halamot me'anal and go nafshi hema kedvei lachmi. He describes here how the natural reactions of different animals, of different creatures. If an animal eats something bitter, he's going to spit it out. It's natural for a person who feels like he's being targeted by God to cry over it. Eov's basic point, as we'll see in a few minutes, is Can one say, in my case, and in many other cases, that what's happening is something that comes just from my own actions? Isn't it clear in this case, based on the strange way all this happened, that it's from above? Remember, the Rambam pointed out in what we read that one time it presents the Satan as different, Le'etzev al Hashem independently, that's in Perek Beis. In Perek Aleph, it presents the Satan without a separate Le'etzev al Hashem. That's the Rambam's pointing out, that it can be read either way, they're two different presentations. Is the Satan really generated by man? Or is he empowered by God? And you know, if we think about it, let's leave Eov's case aside for a second. A baby who's born without arms and legs, what did he do wrong? Is everything in the world explainable based on man's actions? Are there not cases where it seems that God wants people to suffer? And Eov believes his case is one where clearly God is after him. In fact, he continues in Pasuk Chet, Mi tein tavo she'elati v'tikvati yitein Eloha. You want to talk about requests of God? Halavai, God would give me my request. What's that request? V'yoel Eloha v'idakeni yater yado v'ivatzeni. That God would strike me down. Why does God keep me alive in this state? Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ma kochi k'ayachel u'ma kitzi k'yarich nafshi. What strength do I have that I can bear with this and hope for some better future? Im koach avanim kochi, im b'sari nachush. Do I have the strength of rocks? Is my skin made of copper? Ha'im ein ezrativi v'tushiyah nitcham imeni. So his first response is, how can I be expected to hope for something better when the one you're asking me to turn to is the one who's attacking me? And now Eov has some very sharp words. Pasuk Yudalit. Lamas mere'ehu chased, v'irat shaddai ta'azov. Achai bagdu chamo nachal ka'afik nichalim yavoru. Not naturally knowing what all these words mean and not having prepared, I assume nobody knows what he's talking about, right? Okay, well, some people learn Gemara. At least we don't learn Tanakh, we know Tanakh through Gemara. Which Mishnah, which Gemara do the words in Pasuk Yud Aleph appear in? What? Bava Metzia. Bava Metzia. Not too, I don't think it's in Bava Batra, but you can show me. How many people know what an Onat Dvarim is? Right, Onat, what's Onat? What does the word Onat mean? Onat means to cause someone else pain. The Torah mentions this sister twice. It says, Lo tonu ishat amito. Don't pain your friend. And because the Torah mentions it twice, Chazal assume there's two kinds of Onat. There's Onat Mamon, fraud. You cause your friend pain by selling him something for more than it's worth. And then there's Onat Dvarim, verbal abuse. The Mishnah gives an example of verbal abuse. It says, someone who reminds people of the mistakes and the problems in their past. And it quotes this pasuk of verbal abuse. You're talking about abandoning the fear of God. You've abandoned the fear of God by doing what? What's he attacking Eliphaz for?
Saying that he sinned.
For attacking me. How could you be so insensitive? Pasuk tetvav. Achai vagdu kimo nachal. Kafik nichalim yavoru. My brothers have betrayed me like a river. Kafik nichalim yavoru. What's an afik nichalim? What's an afik? Kafikim banegev, right? Shir amalot. Bishuv Hashem et shivat Zion hayinu kichomim, right? Kafikim banegev. It's a flash flood. And afik nichalim is the wadi of a river. How can the wadi of a river disappoint? Most of us probably never lived in the wadis of rivers, so it's hard for us to fully understand exactly what's going on here, right? Let me tell you a little bit about it. How do you survive living in the wadi of a river? You know, one of these like kibbutz Ein Gedi. How do you survive there? Without, you know, plumbing, modern plumbing. You're going to have one huge flood of rain a year, maybe two. That's it. So what do you do? You prepare. You dig pits and you plant and you're waiting for this moment, right? Could you imagine the anticipation? And all of a sudden you see the clouds coming over Yerushalayim or the mountains. And you see the rain starting and you're ready for this flood, right? And all of a sudden you hear the rushing water. Could you imagine how you'd feel if as the water is rushing down the mountain, a rock has moved since last year and diverts all the water in a different direction? If one rock has moved, right, or the position of the rock has moved, all the water, you're like, it's hard for us to imagine because we don't have to work that hard. But imagine preparing yourself, and it's your whole life. You've been betrayed. Here, Eov, he knows he has these friends. He's all alone, and he's suffering, and it's terrible. And he's hoping, maybe my friends will come and have something good to say. Oh, they're my friends, and they come, and they sit down with him. And he goes, look at my life, and they go, you're evil. You're a sinner. And throughout the Sefer, we're going to see this duality between Eov's speech to God and Eov's speech to his friends. In fact, very soon, understandably, Eov begins to see his friends as part of God's plan to hurt him. He starts accusing them of being part of this plot, which you can understand considering the situation he's in. The whole world is turned against him. Even his friends. Achai bagdu kimo nachal. So why shiram al teshuvat shiel hashemik hafikim banegev? The rush, the speed, the suddenness of the running waters, hafikim banegev, are what we're comparing the gula to. Relatively speaking, the process happens quickly. Hakodra mine karach, the melting of the ice, aleimu yitalim shalek, the snow adds up, the ages ovu nitmatu b'chumo nidachumim komam. Something's moved from its place, yilaftu orchot akam yalu v'tov yovedu, we have nothing and we're lost. Hibitu orchot tema alichot shva kivulamo, boshu kivatach ba'u adav ayechparu, they dig in anticipation, ki ata ayitem, Lo tiru chatat v'tiro. Hachi amarti havuli. Did I tell you to come visit me? Umikochachem shichadu badi. Did I ask you to help me? Umaltuni miyatzor miyadaritim tifduni. Did I ask you to come redeem me? Horuni v'ani acharish. Show me where my problem is and I'll be quiet. Umashagiti avinuli. And my mistakes you should explain to me. What have I done to deserve all this that it's the result of my actions? Ma nimritzuim reyosho ma yochiach hocheach mikem. You guys would jump even orphans. You turn against your friend. Do I speak incorrectly? Is there something that my mouth doesn't understand? What he's saying to them is, it's easy for you to come with these platitudes of no one suffers unless they've planted evil. Look at me. I'm a person in front of you. What have I done to deserve this? You have something meaningful to say? I'll listen. But show me where I'm wrong. Show me where, you know, where the philosophy doesn't meet reality. Where the philosophy doesn't meet reality. You know, you have often religious people, rabbis, priests, saints, who have their philosophy that with which they live in the ivory tower with, and then they have to come out and confront reality with it, and just the gap, and to come and apply the philosophies where it doesn't work. Ultimately, God holds Eliphaz and the other friends to task. He holds them responsible for having been untrue, for having said things that they believed in but didn't make sense. Which is surprising because most of us think that if we just say what we believe in, even if it doesn't make sense, then we're okay. What God eventually says is better to not understand than to say something that makes no sense. And that's ultimately the big problem. A lot of Jewish groups refuse to try and explain the Holocaust. One famous example is Lubavitcher Rebbe. You won't find anywhere in his writings anything about the Holocaust. So this is too much for me to understand, for me to try and explain. And how pathetic is it when people give small explanations for big things? And yeah, we hear it all the time. We hear it with smaller things, but explanations still don't fit. How do your principles relate to the reality of my life? Part of the challenge is to know that there are times we don't understand, and better not to speak than to speak things that make no sense. Now, we'll continue with this next time, but Perek Zayin is a continuation of Eov's speech. Why is it made into a separate Perek? It's a good question to try and answer, assuming people had read it. Focus. What?
It's just a little.
Assumably, it's a new Perek, no? Eov is constantly speaking both to the friends and to God. And the way he divides it up is into, he doesn't make them prakim, but different parts of his speech. And this is again a model of what we're going to see throughout Eov's speech. Perek, Vav, he's speaking to his friends. How do you see it? He speaks about God in third person, Pasuk Dalet. Chitzei Shaddai Imadi. He speaks to his friends in second person. What does he speak to his friends in second person? Aibitu Orchot Tema, Pasuk Yotet, Pasuk Chavalef Kiata Hayitem, etc. In Perek Zayin, he's addressing God. And he says, Halo Tzaval Enosh Ale Aretz. Enosh is another way of referring to man. It's always used when it refers to mortal man, man and his weakness. Man's life is one of Tzaval, which doesn't mean army, it means of work, of labor. His days are like a day worker. Like a slave, he yearns for the shade. You've bequeathed me, you've inherited to me meaningless months. The leilot amal minuli. And nights of suffering. Again, he's talking about the nights in particular. The nights are when? Im shachafti, if I went to sleep. V'amarti matay akum. I couldn't wait to get up. Umidat harev v'savati nidudim adei nashaf. And I've been full with restless dreams all night. Lavash b'sari rima. My skin is full of worms. V'gush afar ori raga v'yimayes. Yamai kalu mini areg. My days swiftly leave me. V'yichlu b'efes v'kvan. They end with meaningless, without hope. Zechor. Ki ruach chayai lo teshuv eini lero tov. I will never see good again. Lo teshurini ein roi. Einecha bi, your eyes are at me, v'aneni, and I disappear. Kala'an en v'yelach ken yorech ol lo ya'aleh. I'll be damned in hell and never go up. Lo yashuv od leveito lekareno od mekomo. Gamani, therefore, lo echzach pi adabra b'tzar ruchi. Asicha b'mar nafshi. Therefore, I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to speak in my suffering. I'm going to speak out of my bitterness. And now he addresses God, Pasuk Yud Beis. I have nothing to lose. Hayamani, am I the sea? Im tanin, am I a whale? Ki tasim alai mishmar, that you have me guarded so closely. Ki amarti tenachameni arsi, I said, let my bed give me peace. Yisab sichi mishkavi, v'chitatani b'chalomot, and you intimidate me with dreams. U'mechezionot tivatani, and visions terrify me. You keep death from me. Why are you after me? What do you want from me? Ma'asti, I'm sick of this. Lo lo olam mechia. Chadal mimeni. Let me go, let me die. Ki hevel yamai. Ma'enosh ki tikad lenu. What is lowly man that you make him so great? Chi tashita lovely becha, that you pay attention to him. Vativ gedenu liv karim, you're constantly re-seeking him each morning. L'regoyim tivchanenu. Let me swallow my spit. Maybe I've sinned. What does it do to you that you have to come after me? No tera adam. Lama samtani lemivgalach. Why have you made me your target? And you bear down on my shoulders. You couldn't have bared with whatever my mistakes were. Now I'm going to lie down and be lost. What's he saying to God? Yad, why are you after me? What's he saying existentially to God? That's on a personal level, a broader level.
Why is man so cared for? Why does it matter so much what we do?
Why do you need to punish man? Let's say an ant makes a mistake. Okay, instead of going through this canal, he goes to the other canal. He takes a little bit extra honey for himself or whatever. You know, such a big deal. Pick on someone your own size. Do these words, Ma'anosh kitagadlanu, remind you of anything? Again, it would be somewhere else in Tanakh, so again, it would be that same book that we don't learn. Aser. You have to ask your sister. Tehillim, Perek Chet. Let me get some advertising for Tehillim. David HaMelech's book. You can say it once a week, you can say it once a month, but say it! I say it once a month. Every day I say five, it's divided up in the Sefer Tehillim, you can see it there. Tehillim Perek Chet. Tehillim Perek Chet. L'natzeach ala gitit mizmor le David, Hashem Adonenu, ma adir shimcha b'chol ha'aret asher tnahu lecha ala shamayim. Your name is so great and so vast. You control this whole world. You create the sun, the moon, and the stars. Pasuk hey. Ma enosh ki tizkirenu uven adam ki tifkedenu. What is man that you pay attention to him? And you make him just a bit less than God. You crown him with control over the world. The kavod v'hadar tatreu tamshileu b'maasei yodecho kol shatar tachat raglav tzonev alafim kulam v'gam ba'amot sadai tzipor shamayim udgei hayam over ochot yamim. You put him in control of the whole world. Hashem adonenu ma adir shimcha b'chol haaretz. Both David HaMelech and Iov are shocked at the attention that God pays to man. What's the difference between the context of the same statement? David is saying, it's amazing how much you give to man, how much attention you pay to him. You create the whole world and yet you empower man. If David starts off in Pasuk Bet and says, Hashem Adonenu ma adir shimcha b'chol haaretz, Asher tnahu tcha al hashamayim, he's talking about God's creations above. But ultimately his goal is to end off in Pasuk Yud, Hashem Adonenu ma adir shimcha b'chol haaretz, by being impressed with what God has empowered below. Iov, of course, also believes that God pays an inordinate amount of attention to man, but not in a positive way.
He's asking,
go get a life!
He's asking,
God, like, don't you have something better to do? Do you get off on causing man suffering? Why is he so important? Almost like a tyrant who gets glee from persecuting some helpless baby, like the Nazis. Mela, you believe the Jewish bankers are in trouble and you got to stop them. You get off on shooting a helpless baby because you have no life. You have no sense of worth. Nachum Breslov writes in one of his stories, there's a Maisa Michachem V'Tam. It's a story about a Chachem and a Tam. And the Tam, you know, he's gullible, he's naive, and everyone likes to take advantage of him, and you know, and they laugh when they take advantage of him, and he falls into their traps. And one day he turns around and says, you people can't be too smart, because it doesn't take much to fool me. And if this is all you can do to prove to yourselves that you're smart, then how smart are you really? And Iov has a similar statement here. And the truth is, we understand the difference between David and Iov's reflections. David is a person who's built a kingdom. He's amazed at what God has given him to bring down Goliaths, to found Yerushalayim. Iov is sitting in the ground, in the dirt. God, why do you pay so much attention to man?
What he's saying is, if you're paying attention to me, see that I've done nothing wrong. If you don't care about me, why are you punishing me?
He does believe what you're saying. That's not his particular point here. He's not getting into, why do I... Let's say I deserve it. Let's say you could tell me I've done something wrong. Does it justify this kind of persecution?
He knows he's done nothing wrong.
That's true. He believes he's done nothing wrong. But here he's making an additional point. His additional point is, why? Why do you cause man so much suffering? What am I missing here? Unless... What's Eov's answer to these rhetorical questions? Unless? Unless you want me to suffer. Unless you're a Nazi who enjoys seeing people being killed. Having them suffer. Right? Ultimately, his response to Eliphaz is, you cannot disconnect suffering from God. And I am Exhibit A. It's convenient to tell yourself that man reaps what he sows. But there's a lot that man reaps that he never knew how to sow, doesn't know where to sow, doesn't come from him. There are situations, and we see it in our own world, where God just seems to have it out for people. The nicest people. The sweetest people. The people of Haiti, what did they do to anyone? Mele, if the president of Haiti's house would have fallen on him, I think everyone would have said hallelujah. But that's not what happened. These people have nothing, mamish nothing. So it's easy for us to sit in our ivory tower and talk about Jews and God and religion and spirituality and belief. 200,000 people, helpless people. So what do? They sowed something? And over the border of the island, you know what's on the other side of the border, anyone knows? The Dominican Republic. Nothing. But these people are tzaddikim. They're not bigger tzaddikim than the Asians. You can separate suffering from God. So, thankfully, it was a tough guy. The book continues. We'll continue next week.